Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, crazy martinis for you, as usual, and both the good and the bad. Deal with Democratic spin on various issues, one we find extremely humorous, the other one we probably would if it didn't cost us so much. And I guess you could probably say the same thing for the first one. But the good martini is that the Democrats are actually going to try to spin Obamacare into a positive issue for them in 2014 because they know that's their biggest headache. This comes from the Monday edition of Politico, that Democrats are now settling on a new strategy to try to blunt the GOP's advantage. Tell voters that Republicans would make the problem worse, raising prescription drug prices, empowering insurance companies, and even endangering domestic violence victims. So, Jim, I guess get ready to hear a lot of terms like pre-existing conditions, not being able to stay in your parents' health care. Meanwhile, Republicans can point to premiums and deductibles that are skyrocketing, not being able to see doctors and so forth. I kind of like the GOP odds on this one.
Pop quiz here, Greg. How many Democrats have introduced legislation to make the fixes they want?
Other than the thing that Mary Landry tried to do, I can't think of any.
Yeah. What specific changes does Obama want to make that Republicans in the House are blocking?
None, but he's willing to talk about it, man. If there's a serious...
Exactly, yeah. You know. So they keep saying they want to fix it, but they never really get any details on how they want to fix it. And some of us would say that kind of matters. Basically, for everybody who had a plan that they liked before and now doesn't have it and now is either paying more or they got higher co-pays or they got higher deductibles, all that stuff, they're now, I want the old plan back. And, you know, Obama said, you know, after insisting this was a small problem that only affected a few people, and it turns out to be a couple million, Obama said, well, okay, if your state insurance commissioner says it's okay and the insurer wants to give it back again, then you can have it back. In a whole bunch of states, that wasn't an option. So, you know, the Democrats keep saying, well, trust us. We'll fix it. Never mind that we're the ones who passed it. We're the ones who wrote it up. We're the ones who the administration is implementing it. We're going to change it fine. But don't trust the people who've been saying all along this is going to be a problem. They're the bad guys. They don't know what they're talking about, even though most of their warnings have been very far-sighted and accurate. That is a tough message to sell. Kind of in this theme today, Greg, I don't know if you saw that Kathleen Sebelius was saying, said, quote, there is absolutely no evidence, and every economist will tell you this, that there is any job loss related to the Affordable Care Act. She apparently has never heard of the Congressional Budget Office. It's completely alien concept to her. Never mind all the medical device manufacturers who laid people off because of the higher taxes on it and they expect lower sales and stuff like that. If there's anything we've learned in recent months, it's, you can always trust Kathleen Sebelius, right? She is on top of this stuff. So you add up all this stuff. The Democratic message is, no, okay, we really totally messed this up, but trust us. We'll fix it all. And you can't trust the guys who have been warning from the beginning that this is going to be a bad thing. And I just don't – it's very hard to imagine that working in a midterm election environment.
Jim, the CBO didn't project job losses. It allows people flexibility so they don't have to be tethered to their pesky employment.
That's right. Higher fun.
All right. On to martini number two now. And yesterday was the five-year anniversary of the stimulus being signed into law. And this is a particularly rosy review coming from Time Magazine's Michael Gruenwald. But here's basically the pitch coming from the White House, and Gruenwald is dutifully peddling it here. The main conclusion of the 70-page report that the White House gave him an advanced draft of is that the Recovery Act increased U.S. GDP by roughly 2 to 2.5 percentage points from late 2009 through mid-2011, keeping us out of a double-dip recession. It added about 6 million job years, a full-time job for a full year through the end of 2012. And he goes on to explain why, despite the fact that we're at the lowest job participation rate in 30 years and so forth, and the number of people exiting the labor force is terrible, and young people, of course, are looking at terrible numbers. But, Jim, the tortured rhetoric here, going from save jobs a couple of years ago, now we're talking about job years, but real jobs apparently aren't on the talking points here.
Yeah, anytime somebody wants to drastically change the measuring stick when there didn't seem like there was anything wrong with the old measuring stick probably means that they're not going to do well under the old measuring stick and they really need to choose this new one. This is why, really, we're going to use the metric system for jobs, which involves jobometers and stuff like that. You know, whenever they start pulling stuff like that out of there, it usually is a sign that they're going to change it drastically. Look, here's a very simple measuring stick. Do Democrats brag about the stimulus on the campaign trail?
Not really.
Maybe they do it in a deep blue district, or maybe they do it in a deep blue state. But is there any endangered Democrat who's saying, "Hey, hey, whoa, 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 I know you guys are mad, but look at me. Hey, I voted for the stimulus, okay?" No, none of them are doing that. All of them kind of know. And when they need to propose additional spending, does the Obama administration or any other congressional Democrat say, "We need another stimulus"? No, maybe not. It's the new S word. In fact, you know, you're going to see the other S word more frequently around Washington than you'll hear the stimulus. So the concept has largely been discredited. Now, when you spend, was it $87 billion, Greg?
Try 800.
800 billion. Sorry, I missed a decimal point there. When you spend 800, you know, I remember during one of the debates, Rick Perry said the stimulus has created zero jobs. And of course, all the fact checkers, you know, gang tackled him like the Seattle Seahawks defense over that. And quasi deservedly so, because that's not saying an accurate. I think it was like a month where there had been no net job creation. The more accurate statement is that when you spend $800 billion, of course you're going to create some jobs, you know, kind of like Brewster's Millions. It's hard to spend $800 billion and not create a single job. The question was, do we end up spending it in the most effective way, or did it end up going down the same porky rat holes that it always does? And, you know, they said, no, there's going to be no pork in this, no earmarks. You can look on stimulus.gov, which turned out having, you know, Arizona's 32nd congressional district and all this stuff that didn't exist. As a novelist, Greg, I can tell you this. In fiction, we call that foreshadowing of what was going to happen with healthcare.gov. When one website totally fails to do the job it's supposed to, it may be a hint that the next one is not going to turn out as well. So you end up with this circumstance in which the stimulus, look, yeah, did it create some jobs? Sure. Now, could you have done the exact same thing for a, say, one-year payroll tax holiday? And everyone in America doesn't pay any taxes for Social Security or Medicare, basically giving everybody in the country a 7 to 8% raise and giving the self-employed a 15% raise. That might have been a better way to do it, I would argue. Instead, it goes for, you know, resurfacing sidewalks and you know, the far-off museums in Dubuque. And I think it was a scenic river project in West Virginia where they end up buying a bunch of Lego sets and stuff. That's our stimulus projects at work. You know, I guess it was good for Lego Corporation. You know, I mean, if you're a company that makes the stuff that gets purchased through a stimulus, yeah, it's terrific. But if you're not, then the, you know, ramifications aren't so great, and it turns out to be the same old tax and spend, spread the money around policies that haven't really worked for a really long time.
Yeah, so an extra good martini, I guess, for the fact that if this is the Democratic strategy, pretend that Obamacare going away would be worse and that the stimulus was a success. Keep it up. I think we're totally on board with that Democratic campaign strategy for this year. The bad news, of course, is that this has cost us not only $800 billion, but somehow discretionary spending levels stayed at that same level every year since then. It's gone down a little bit this last year.
Look, addressing the bigger issues would require that, like, the entire foundation of their worldview would crumble. So they have to insist the stimulus worked and that Obamacare is going hunky-dory.
Yeah. Wow. All right. On to martini number three now, the crazy martini. And in addition to the numerous Senate seats currently held by Democrats that Republicans hope to pick up in 2014, there are many conservative groups looking at a couple of incumbent Republicans who they think aren't as conservative as their state's electorate suggests they ought to be. And perhaps number one on that list is Lindsey Graham down in South Carolina. He's nearing the end of his second term, running for a third term. There are at least two or three relatively compelling candidates running against him, and there's some question as to whether he can get the 50% in the big primary to avoid the runoff. Now there are a group of conservatives in South Carolina looking to extend the gap between the big primary date and any potential runoff. Right now, it's only a two-week gap in June between the primary and any potential runoff. This group looking to push the runoff to August. And one of their big arguments, Jim, of course, is that military voters overseas, a two-week gap for turning around a new ballot for them and getting it back on time is virtually impossible. But some see other motivations here. How do you see this?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious that Carolina Conservatives United is really doing this because they want to defeat Lindsey Graham. And you know how I figured that out, Greg?
How's that?
Because the URL for their organization is defeatlindseygraham.org, which kind of hints the real agenda here. Now, here's the thing. you can love Lindsey Graham, you can hate Lindsey Graham. If you love Lindsey Graham, I'm hoping you're married to him or related to him. But I'd be surprised by that opinion. But you probably shouldn't change an election law based on what you think of one guy. But having said that, Carolina Conservatives United appears at first glance to have a fairly compelling case here, which is that, look, if you're going to have a federal election, you allow servicemen, serving overseas to vote in it, and you got to send them absentee ballots, and it takes a while to print up and send out the absentee ballots, get them to the troops over in Afghanistan or wherever they are, and then get back across. The guy has to sign their absentee ballot and then send it halfway back, halfway around the world. The window recommended under the law under passed in 2009 is 45 days. Now, as those who are good at math can figure out, 45 days cannot be crammed into a two-week period. So this is the old system of a runoff 2 weeks after the primary, which, South Carolina's had for years and years, may actually violate this law. And it's kind of surprising that only now are people looking at this and recognizing this. So I certainly, as somebody who believes that if you're out there fighting and protecting our rights, you should certainly have your right to vote should be protected. I think they do have to push back the runoff, and that there are some people who won't like this. As somebody who thinks that primaries are a good and necessary thing in our politics, but there is such a thing as one that goes on too long and inflicts too much damage on all the candidates with too much negative campaigning. The idea of 2 months of a runoff election in South Carolina, it just kind of fills me with dread. That's not exactly an easygoing and pleasant state when it comes to Republican Party politics there. It's pretty sharp elbows there. However, it appears to be required under the law, and if you want to protect the rights of our servicemen overseas to vote, you got to extend that out there, which means it'd probably be around mid-August or so. And of course, if you're one of these non-Graham candidates and you get to the runoff, look, one of the reasons I've been kind of skeptical that Graham would get knocked off in the primary was that each one of these guys, Mace and Bright and Cash, by the way, three good things to have in a fight are Mace, to be Bright, and to have Cash. The idea of there being bad blood after the primary doesn't strike me as terribly unlikely, that this is going to be a hard-fought one. It's very easy to see a replay of what we saw with Romney in last year's Republican presidential primary, that everybody was fighting each other for the right to be the not Romney, and thus Romney kind of coasted for a while. So whoever wins that primary, they'll have a much easier time unifying the anti-Graham factions with a two-month period than they will with a two-week period. So we all got to see how the Justice Department responds to this, how courts respond to this. But at first glance, it really does seem like the runoff rules in South Carolina violate federal law and are going to have to change in one way or the other.
No, we'll certainly be watching that. It certainly would be a major change in a short period of time, obviously, with that primary just coming up in about 4 months from now. So we'll see if it happens and what the impact will be. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And please join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.